Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's chat with one of our favorite NBA analysts in the country. Always brings the energy and the insight. A host on SiriusXM NBA Radio and a contributor on NBA TV, Brian Geltzeller, to get a little national perspective on all things Wiz. Brian, we got to start ahead of the draft now with the trade today. Reason we got you on, actually. Jordan Poole moved. They get more money that they can eventually get out of. You know, they're due to have like $115 million coming off the books now after this season. What'd you think of the Poole trade?
Well, so listen, essentially what the Wizards did here is they gave up the number 40 pick to get out of the last year of Jordan Poole's deal. And when you look at where they'll be next season regarding cap space, it's about $110 million. Now, you know, you have to understand that sounds very exciting on the surface to fans. The bottom line is this: the way this system is set up in the NBA, that free agency can be slim picking sometimes. Most of your big players and your higher profile and better players in the league are signing extensions with their current teams. Acquiring players via trade has been the much more frequent method of bringing guys in than signing free agents in this new CBA, which essentially this whole second apron era, and the second apron functions as a hard cap. With all that said, in any marketplace, having that kind of financial flexibility gives you a lot of options. So what I would tell you here with the Wizards is they put themselves in great position to be able to, A, bring somebody in without having to send a big salary out if they have an opportunity to make a trade for a major player. Or if that's not available, there's always bad contracts in the NBA. There are owners and lead personnel executives that make financial decisions, bad financial decisions every offseason. So the Wizards are in a position to rent cap space and collect draft capital as payment for that rental. So I think it's a very good position they put themselves in. I like this trade for the Wizards. I think with where they are pick-wise and where they're going, number 40 in this draft, not all that big a deal. And yes, it only got you out of one extra year of Jordan Poole. But the other thing is this, and I think it's important to note, Jordan Poole, his style of play, I'm not referring to him personally, but his style of play is not team basketball and can be somewhat toxic to a young team that's building. And I do think there's an addition by subtraction element here that's going to help younger players like Koulibaly and Sarr and whoever the Wizards go draft in this draft to be able to develop more with the fact that there will be some touches and there will be some usage, because Jordan Poole's the type of guy on the offensive end of the floor that breathes all the air in the room. That's just his nature. That's who he is. It's one of the reasons why he didn't fit all that well in Golden State.
So, Brian, I want to jump on one of the things that you said. I think you're exactly right. I mean, free agency now means overpaying for Dylan Brooks or something to that effect, which isn't that exciting, because and sort of the trade market is where it's at. How do they best position themselves for that using this cap space? Love for you to go into that, because I think you touched on it in terms of taking on other people's trash, some of these bad contracts, because now you've got the flexibility to do so to acquire enough assets.
Well, listen, you know, so now they got McCollum and now they have Middleton, and both of those are Middleton just opted in earlier this week. Those are both expiring deals after this season. And again, that'll all come off the books. So, you know, how do you use that cap space? Again, if there's a player you like out there, and I'll give you a great example of a guy, and I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with him. But this, I point this guy out because this is the type of guy the Wizards are going to be looking at next year. Jonathan Kuminga. So, like, that's where the kind of player, if I'm the Wizards, I would maybe overpay on a restricted free agency deal for him. And again, they're not going to be able to do that this year because they have those two deals on the books. Now, maybe they could execute some kind of sign and trade, and the Warriors wouldn't mind having that financial flexibility. But that's the kind of player that you're talking about if you're going to go sign a free agent. A young guy who's coming off his first contract in the league, his rookie scale deal, and you know has talent, you've seen enough production to know that he can be something, but for whatever reason didn't fit in well where he was. Those are the kinds of guys. But if you can't get one of those guys, it doesn't mean that cap space is a waste. because when I talk about the concept of renting cap space, so taking someone else's really bad contract, listen, the Wizards just, they signed Kyle Kuzma to what ended up being a bad contract. They were able to trade him and get him off the books for a shorter contract in Middleton, and that was actually a very good deal for them. But that's the type of player you would take off somebody's hands. Another example of a guy, and again, you know, if Philly was wants to give you draft capital to take Paul George's deal at the end of this year, and there's only 2 years left in a deal, well, depending upon the level of draft capital, maybe you do it. But that's the kind of guy that you're looking at when it comes to renting a cash space. Here's another point about the cash space that's very, very important. Make sure you're carving out enough numbers that when Koulibaly's time comes for a second contract and Alex Saar's time comes for a second contract, that you have plenty of money available to pay those guys. Because I do think in Koulibaly's 2 years and Alex Saar's 1 year in the league, they have shown you that they are part of what's going to be the long-term solution for the Washington Wizards.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Brian Geltzeiler on Grant and Danny. So let's just say hypothetically the master plan goes beautifully, and in a couple of years, 3 years, whatever it is, the Wizards are, you know, playing in a deep Eastern Conference series because everything went exactly how Will Dawkins was hoping it was going to. Just fill in that blank for me. Like, what does that look like over the next few off seasons? We keep comping them, not to the Thunder in terms of talent, but, hey, you just stay super flexible. You develop this young core. I don't know where their SGA is coming from. That's kind of the big area of concern. But, like, if I'm telling you in 3 years they're the it team and everyone's going, oh, my God, look how they did this. Like, what happened?
So here's you can't compare anyone to the Thunder right now, just because the Thunder had the benefit of a launching pad type of trade. They brought in a player that ended up, you know, putting himself in a class with Michael Jordan, Kareem, and Shaq for what he was able to accomplish with a scoring title, a league MVP, and a finals MVP. So it's really an apples to oranges comparison. The other hard part for them is, even if you compare them to a team like a Houston, okay, who was able to load up on picks because of a Harden trade, like that helped them, because of a Westbrook trade, that helped them. So they were able to accumulate picks that way. The Wizards just didn't have that kind of play and were able to do that. Probably the Wizards' biggest sin was how long they held Bradley Beal and not giving him a no-trade clause. Because the reality was, is Beal was, there was years where teams were willing to pony up multiple firsts, and Beal could have been that leverage point like Houston used with James Harden to be able to bring in some guys that really could help them, or some picks, I should say. But to have that kind of, you know, young player plus 2 pick, young player plus 3 pick deal, the Wizards aren't going to have that. They kind of have to stick with their own. So what are they going to do to build draft capital? Well, if we can't sign the right kind of free agent, we rent the cap space. And that's kind of what this looks like. And on one hand, guys, it sucks for fans because it's playing the long game. And you're going to have to play the long game here. Listen, what the Thunder did is, I don't care, you know, second apron or non-second apron, it's not commonplace in the NBA. You don't go from 2 years ago be the 24-win team and 2 years later win an NBA title. That's almost unheard of. But then you look at how Sam Presti put that together. And by the way, didn't trade one first-round draft pick to be able to build a title contender. Just drafted guys, made a smart trade with Giddey, one good free agency signing with Hartenstein, and everything else was homegrown and built that way. But they had more bites at the apple than any other team has had, and still are going to have more. The Wizards just, because they didn't have, when they had that player, they didn't trade him in time, they don't have that. Not to say they can't do it, but it's going to extend the rebuild a little bit, and they're going to be in a situation where the most important thing for the Washington Wizards going forward is not going to be trades like this, is making the right financial decisions on how much to pay guys and who to sign to second contracts. That's why I turn around and I go back to the fact that both Koulibaly and Saar have shown you enough that they're long-term solutions here. Just make sure you have the right money reserved for them to keep them on board when the time comes.
Brian Geltzahler with us here on Grant and Danny. So to that end, assuming steps four for these young guys like Coulibaly, like Alex Saar, like Bob Carrington to a degree, maybe even Keshawn George. Ultimately, it's easy to say, yeah, they need a star, but what kind of player fits the best ultimately with that group? Sort of thinking about what not only the draft, but maybe sort of the target here over the next year or two, Brian, where you go, they need an elite wing or they need an elite big or an elite point guard, something like that. When you look at this group and kind of around these young kids, what's the thing that they need? What type of player should they be looking at?
They're not there yet. And I say that in this way, get talent, talent, mm-hmm. talent, and talent. Bring in talented guys. The other thing I would say is this. Don't get too hung up on timeline. Listen, you don't want guys on the north side of 30, but if you have an opportunity to bring in a 27-year-old player at the beginning of his prime and you got to pay him a little bit extra to do it, well, you'd go ahead and do it. Kind of like you look for the Knicks version of Jalen Brunson. Like Knicks had Jalen Brunson they were able to do that with and bring in on the contract that people were scratching their heads a little bit considering it was like double what the Mavs had offered. But it ended up being a fantastic bargain deal for them. That's the one point that I'll say is that, listen, you're going to want that kind of mature guard there to be able to lead the way. But who is that guy? Is that guy going to be available? Listen, interesting trade went down last night regarding the Celtics and the Portland Trailblazers. Anthony Simons was brought to Boston not to be a long-term solution in Boston, but to help them get off Holiday's money. Well, Anthony Simons, his free agency is going to coincide with the Wizards having a lot of that money. You know, Simons is he's a professional scorer. I don't know how well he guards. He doesn't pass that great, but he's a professional scorer. My point being is if Simons goes to Boston and the Joe Mazzulla system seems to fit him and, you know, he improves and their good player development program develops them and he can go make more money with the Wizards than he can staying with the Celtics, maybe he's interested in that. So that's the kind of example of a guy who has already had a second contract, came into the league very young, but you're going to get a guy at the age of 24, 25 that's ready to contribute on a big level and can see him improve under your watch. That's the kind of guy that you're looking at. But again, this is an important point to make to Wizards fans. You're not in roster building mode yet. You're still in asset accumulation mode. You just need more good players there. And that's why what happens tomorrow night with this number six picks, very, very important to them. They're going to have to be able to go get themselves a guy that is going to be a long-term solution, and it doesn't matter what position he plays.
All right, so let's talk about adding more talent then really quickly, Brian, with the draft. Tomorrow they've got the sixth pick. So Danny and I have kind of narrowed things down to a perfect world where they're debating between Trey Johnson and Ace Bailey. I guess, number one, do you agree that that would be really ideal for them at six? Who would you take of those two guys for them? Or is there another player, whether that's, you know, Knipple or somebody else, that you actually think would be a really good fit? Like, what would be your best-case scenario for them?
I'm afraid of Trey Johnson. I'll come out and say that right now. Trey Johnson he never met a shot he didn't like. And although he is a very good, tough shot maker, his stats near the rim were alarmingly bad. Like, the other thing is, for a guy that's a good, tough shot maker and plays offense the way he does, he's kind of an average-ish athlete. So I don't know that he's going to be anything on the other end of the floor. I think this, and Trey Johnson is one of the polarizing prospects in this draft. If Ace Bailey falls to you at five on a talent basis, you must select him. That's how I feel. If I'm the Wizards, I would not pass on Ace Bailey there. I know there are some shot selection issues regarding Ace Bailey as well. I know that it's been a very clumsy handling of workouts and how he's handled this stuff, and I'm not exactly sure what the end game is for the guys that are advising him. But with that said, too talented for the Wizards to pass on. They'll figure it out. You mentioned Colin Knipple. I love the player. I just do. I think he's Luka light. I play so well off 2 feet, can get his own shot, additive in every way, good catch and shoot guy, good off the dribble, smart, instinctive, great kid, competes on defense, even though athletically he's probably not going to be a premium defender. You can't have enough players like Colin Knipple in your system. So my point being is if that's where they end up going, I'll have no problem with that. One other guy that I think is interesting, I think he's interesting for any team that's pretty much picking after four, is Malawak out of Duke. And I would not hesitate if I were the Wizards to grab him and put him at center and let Alex Saar play the four next to him. Because one of the things you saw with Alex Saar, he was drafted as a five. He showed you this year, between some of the long-range shooting and his ability to guard the perimeter, that he could really be a big four. and play quite well on both ends of the floor on the perimeter and still give you that whole shot blocking type of thing. And when you look at whether it's Sar and Malawak there, or if you're bringing in Ace Bailey, you're adding listen, Sar's a great athlete. You add another big-time athlete like an Ace Bailey there to him, now you're starting to move in the right direction. So I kind of look at, I threw four guys, you threw two guys, I threw two more at you regarding Knipple and Malawak. Trey Johnson will be the one in that spot I would avoid. The other guy that to me I would stay the heck away from is Jeremiah Fears in Oklahoma, just because he's another one. Struggles around the rim hitting layups. His efficiency stats were not really good. His counting stats were good. His efficiency stats were not really good. Volume shooter a little bit. And I worry about his level of athleticism also. And it's tough for guards to translate into the league. Remember 2 years ago how everybody was talking about Scoot Henderson being a can't-miss prospect. I mean, he started to get it in the second half of last year, but he's really, really struggled. Fears isn't anywhere close to the prospect Scoot Henderson was. And so I'd be careful there too. So to me, I'd be happy with one of those two Duke guys or Ace Bailey for the Wizards at number six.
Brian, great as always, man. Great to catch up with you, buddy. Thank you.
My pleasure, guys. Talk to you soon. Take care.
Brian Geltzeiler of NBA Radio with us here on Grant and Danny.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.